what God has to say to us. There's things in our lives, I believe, that help to shape us for the better or for the worse. There's things in our childhoods that will affect us into our adult lives, and maybe there's times we don't realise that. And when we start to look at what the Lord has for us, when we start to look at who we are, and we sang it in one of our hymns, He is the Lord that heals us. And in Exodus 15:26, it says this. He said, "Listen carefully to the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes. If you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." Now, for us as Christians, we know that we can't keep all his laws and decrees. But in Christ, we've been made righteous according to his righteousness, yes? So that we can walk knowing that he is the Lord who heals you. He is the Lord who heals me. Now, for me, I have glasses, so I have poor eyesight. There's times I have aches and pains and things in my body. And I'm sure it's the same for you. There's things that happen in your life that you look at it and say, "Okay, Lord, you are the God who heals me, yet I'm still in a form of disability. I still ache. There's still things in my life that I'm still waiting for you to do." Now, when Susan and I first became Christians, there was people would say things like this: "He's going to be just like his uncle so-and-so." And Susan would say, "Oh, no, he isn't. He's not going to be nothing like his uncle so-and-so." And she would say this: "I'm cutting the strings." And we prayed this prayer. We say, "Lord, we're not going to be mastered by the puppet master. The strings are cut. We belong to you. Our children belong to you. Our families belong to you. No more will you control me, O enemy. I belong to the Lord." Do we see a question? Do we see healing in the Bible? We do. I'm glad. Can God perform miracles if he so chooses to? Yes, he can. The Bible says, "My sheep know my voice." There's times where we can pray that prayer, "Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." The enemy is the one who robs, steals, and destroys. We live in a fallen world, don't we? And along comes that we're not immune to being ill, are we? We can still go through some of the pains that other people may go through. When I looked at the word salvation many years ago, for me what it says gave me a picture of perfection. Salvation, to be saved, nothing broken, nothing missing, a completeness in Christ Jesus. So I've been saved through the blood of Jesus, so have you, amen? There's a completeness in us. But there's areas of our lives where we say, "Lord, I need to catch up with what you've already done." And there'll be times in our lives where we will see the miraculous. And there'll be times where we pray for the miraculous and we don't see it in our earthly lifetime, but we will in our eternal one. Does it mean that we shouldn't ask? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that we shouldn't go to see a doctor? No, it doesn't. We are blessed by those men and women that serve us. But there is a point, an opportunity that God gives us as his people to come to him, the great physician. As I was outside doing my car parking duties, just to make sure that Bernie and Mike could get a parking space, there was a lady coming along and she was hobbling. And I saw her hobbling and I did nothing about it. And then she went back to the car and she came back again. And I engaged in conversation. I said, "What's wrong?" And she gave a whole list of things that had gone wrong in her life from the age of 15. And she said, "I just don't know what's going to happen when I wake up in the morning. My hip may be in, it may be displaced. I'm in permanent pain." And I said, "What's your name?" She said, "Gemma." So I said, in a bumbled way, "Can I pray for you?" And she said, "I need all the help I can get. We think that the world outside don't want God's intervention, but they do. I can do with all the help I can get." I says, "Well, you might not believe in the God that I believe in. You might not believe in miracles, but I do. Can Can I pray with you? And she said, yes. And we prayed together. And it made me think that there is a world out there looking and searching and seeking. But they don't know what they're looking, searching and seeking for. So I want to give you the answer to some of the questions and just talk to you a bit about what it is I want to reveal through Scripture. For me, growing up as a Christian, it's good, bad and ugly times. And I don't like talking too much about myself, and I don't like telling too many stories. Like I said, my happy place is actually reading Scripture. But I think it's worth having this conversation because I was born into a charismatic Pentecostal environment where I heard the gospel preached for the first time in a way that I'd never heard anyone share Scripture. And it affected me, and I didn't know it affected me. And as there was an appeal given out, and we don't tend to do it so much these days, but we ought to. Is there anyone here that wants to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Saviour? And this is what happened. My arm just seemed to have a life of its own. I was pulling it down, and the Holy Spirit was pulling it up. And I remember thinking that I needed to experience something. Now, this is the same in the area of healing. There's times where we think we need to feel something. And I went forward and I gave my life to the Lord. I repented and I accepted Christ as Saviour. And then the next week, I did the same again because I thought I needed to experience something in order for this to be real. Anyone identify with that? Like I made a commitment, I repented, I understood I was a sinner and I needed to receive the Lord, but I thought I needed to feel something in order for this to be real. And there came a point in my life where a godly man said to me, Andrew, just by faith believe. And that changed everything for me. Because I started to read the Bible and believe what it said. And there are times where we can see people who are severely disabled, in using that word. They're restricted by a wheelchair, restricted by calipers, restricted by things that they need to help them to get along. Yet the word is still true. I still believe in a miracle working God, and so should you. There's a scripture in the Bible that is encouraging for anyone that's unwell. And that's where the disciples say to Jesus, which one sinned? This person who's disabled or their parents that he should be born this way? And Jesus looked at them and said, neither. This is so that my Father may be glorified. There are times where if I pollute my body with excess alcohol, guess what? I may die of a liver disease. That's not God who's doing it. Yes, there is an enemy that's out there prowling around, trying to control us with the puppet strings. But we have a God that's far bigger, yes? So there are times in our lives that there are consequences for what we do. If I fill my body with pollutants, my body will be polluted. If I drink the wrong things and eat the wrong things, then it will have an adverse effect upon my body. I have a personal responsibility. But also I live in a fallen world. And there are things that may happen to me that's not under my control. It's under the control of the evil one. But guess what? The Bible says that the Lord Jesus has overcome. Salvation, nothing broken, nothing missing. When we were young Christians, Susan and I, Susan suffered in her body. And I wish we'd have kept some photographs, but they were destroyed, of the lifeless body at times that Susan looked, 6 stone, and being pushed in a wheelchair and carried up and down the stairs. But we serve the God that does miracles, yes? Every time we prayed, Susan got worse. We went to church, things got worse. We prayed for our finances, we had less. We prayed for people to come around us and they went. Anyone else experienced that? Yet by faith I had to stand in the gap and believe that what this word said was true. And the reason I'm taking the time to say these things is because I want us to look at the area of the miraculous healing. But there are times in our lives where we've seen it abused. And it's so easy to throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say. So as I was growing up in this church, the teaching that I received was some of the best teaching that I've ever received. But I also saw things that I was uncomfortable with when I would go to major celebrations. I knew no better at the time. And there's a word called hype. And I don't like hype, but I know that Jesus Christ, through the Spirit, can do whatever he chooses to do. And what happened to me over the years was, I started to grow cold in the area of the miraculous. Because I'd witnessed the abuse. I don't give appeals for finances because I've witnessed the abuse. Does it mean we shouldn't give finances? Because it doesn't. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But listen, we're talking about healing today. But the Bible also says, agree in your heart with the Lord and be a cheerful giver. Agree that he can do all things and stand in faith. But I don't see it, stand in faith. But I don't feel it, stand in faith. That's what faith is. We don't fully understand it. But if we will choose today to believe that he can. I have a problem with my thyroid and I take Thoraxin. Now, unless the Lord says to me, in a vision or a dream or a word, I want you to stop taking it, I'll probably continue taking it. But there's other things in my life that the Lord has said, don't do it. Don't take it. Don't go down that road. So you have to build that relationship for yourself. But what I want to share with us is, don't be like me, where I've started to stop believing in the miraculous. I've been challenged just lately to read about healing. Jehovah Rapha, if I pronounced it right or wrong, it doesn't matter, but the Lord is our healer. We looked at the Lord is our all in all, is our all sufficiency. And he is more than able, isn't he? There are some of us that will not receive some of the things we've been praying for. I'm praying that I would be taller, but I don't know if I'll receive that. But do I believe in miracles? Yes, I'm being flippant. However, there are things in our life that we can say, Lord, this is a family line and I'm cutting it off. As we was praying, someone was praying about our bloodline. Our bloodline is from Jesus Christ, yes? We've been made new. So, I wanted to just share some of my heart before I got into some scripture, because I want us to look at what the Bible says. You know, what does the Word say? We in this church, we want to start with scripture. We want to go through the middle section in scripture and finish in scripture. What does the Bible say? You know, there's somebody that's sick. What does the Bible say? Can we believe? Yes. But one of the things that kept me in a small box when it came to healing is I thought it had to be one way. I thought we only could go to the elders of the church and have them put oil on us and anoint us for healing. But when we look through scripture, there's more than one way that God chooses to manifest healing in our lives and through our lives. And I feel that if we'll grab hold of that, what the Bible teaches, it will liberate us. Because we won't feel guilty because we can't visit somebody. We won't feel guilty because we don't feel confident enough to lay hands on someone. We won't feel guilty because we haven't seen something straight away. Because the Bible tells us that God moves in miraculous ways. Amen? So, I want to read one or two scriptures and just bring some thoughts as I read. Jesus went through Galilee in Matthew 4:23, teaching in their synagogues. He went through all the churches proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you know one of the greatest healings we can receive is salvation? Is a healing of the soul. Yes, we want to see the manifestation of his outward healing. You know, if I have a withered hand, I want that hand to be restored. If I walk with a limp, Lord, yes, please come and deliver me from this limp. But one of the greatest things, and when you look through Jesus' ministry, he didn't just heal people, he proclaimed the good news and healing every disease and sickness among the people. If you've got an illness, whatever it is, does it come in the any or the every? Does, doesn't it? Yeah, well, I've heard of God healing a migraine, but I have this. Every disease. Yeah, but there's lots of diseases that even the medical profession don't know about. So maybe that disease, God can't do anything about. Every disease and sickness among the people. Are you people? Yes. So he's among us today. So I just simply want to encourage us to come back to the foundations that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Did he heal? When we read through scripture, when he walked this earth, did he heal? So if he's the same, he still heals today, doesn't he? He does. As we look at Luke 17, verse 11. Now on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now I want to take that word pity, and I want to suggest that in the English it kind of means, oh, there. Never mind. But I want to use a different word. I want to use the word compassion. Compassion is a far richer word. It's a bigger word. It's like, I feel what you feel. Have you ever met someone, a friend, an old acquaintance, or someone that you've just been introduced to, and they're in pain? And as a Christian, there's something that happens within you, and suddenly you just, Lord, that's compassion. I feel what you feel. I see your pain. Jesus had compassion on them. Have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." With a word, he said, "Go. Go. Show yourself." So when we look at this portion of scripture, Jesus didn't lay hands on them, did he? He didn't anoint them with oil. He didn't say, "Are you Christians?" He just said, "Go." And there's times in our life that we may be far away from someone who is suffering, and we just say, "Lord, go. Lord, bring about a healing. Lord, restore them. Lord, enable them. Lord, embolden them. Lord, provide for them." There are many ways that we can receive our healing. There's mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, physically. You know, for me in my life, and like I say, I don't like talking about myself too much, but it is true to say that I had my struggles. But how many of you know that you don't know that they're struggles until God points them out? I would relax on the sofa, and Susan would look at me and she would say, "You are not dead," because I'd lay there like this. And I said to her one day, "I've just realised why I do that." She said, "Why is that?" I said, "When I was an 11-year-old boy, I went down to the mortuary to see my father who had died. And as they laid him out under the shroud, I could see him laid out like this. And so there was something subconsciously in my mind that caused me to do that. And I still do it sometimes without thinking even now." You see, there's things in our childhood that will affect us in our adulthood. And there's people in our lives as we grow up with Christians now say, "You'll never change. That will never change. God can't do this and God can't do that." And there's something in our lives that we allow that small bit at times to manifest, and we don't realize it's manifested. Because God is who he says he is. He can do what he says he can do. And there'll be times where you will just say the word, "Lord, bring your healing. Go." That's one way that God chooses to heal. If we look in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they will follow me." You see, God will speak to you. Now, there's many people who will live their entire lives and never hear the audible voice of God. But they will hear his voice through his word. They will hear his voice in their heart in a way that seems to be a reverberation. Now, I've been very fortunate or unfortunate in my walk that I believe I have heard the audible voice of the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear at times. There was a time where a friend of ours had died in a motorcycle accident. I can tell this story because I've already spoken to the widow some years ago. And as I was given the news over the fence by the elder's wife that we lived next door to, I started to weep. And as I walked round the corner of my bungalow where we live now, I heard a voice say to me, "You do not have to accept this." Now, did that voice say, "I'm going to raise Colin up from the dead"? No, it didn't. Did it say that I'm going to do something supernatural? No, it didn't. Simply for me, "You don't have to accept this." So I can either accept that death is the end or God can do what he does. Now, just to not give you a spoiler, that man is still dead in the earthly sense. But God challenged me on that day. You see, friends, if we don't lay hands on something that has died, if we don't speak to something that has died, if we don't have faith to believe that something that has died will be risen, then how's God going to use us? You see, I don't have to accept that. I don't have to accept the report from the doctor when they say, when someone says a friend of mine has got this incurable disease, I don't need to accept that. I can say, yes, they may have that diagnosis, but God is the great physician. Lord, if you choose to, say the word and let my brother be healed. Let my sister be healed. Let that circumstance manifest. You see, you don't have to accept it either, do you? You don't have to accept it. We have to at times live through the consequences of a fallen world. There are times where our body will fail us, but we don't have to accept it. And we can stand in faith knowing that it's not us. You see, if I pray for someone, I lay hands on that dead man and he did not recover. But if he had have recovered, would it have been me who healed him or the Lord? The Lord, just in case you wonder. Because we are not the healer, but he is. You see, the thing is with humanity is, it gets abused because people start to believe that they are the healers. That they're the ones in which the miracles are done through. But actually it's the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of God that brings about the change. But my sheep, that's me and you, they listen to my voice. He speaks to us through his word. And sometimes he gives us a rhema. In Matthew 20:29, it says this: as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." You see, there's a different word here from pity to mercy. Have mercy on us. Mercy. Favour, undeserved. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." You see, had they given up at the first prayer, "Father God, I know that you can do all things, strengthen me. Lord, would you heal this shriveled hand?" No? Okay. They didn't give up the first time. They kept on knocking. They shouted all the louder. "Lord, you are able," is our prayer. "Lord, you are more than sufficient," is our prayer. "Lord, you are the one who sustains me. You're the one that gives me the breath. You created me, Lord. You can recreate me." They shouted all the louder. Jesus stopped and called them. Now, this bit I've always been fascinated with. It's always encouraged me. He called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. Now just imagine, put yourself in the crowd. Would you not say, "Jesus, they're blind. What do you think they want?" You know, you're in a church and we have a healing service. Every service is a healing service. But we have a healing service specifically. And someone comes up in a wheelchair. Straight away we think, "Lord, Let them rise up out of that wheelchair. But if we said, what do you want? They go, I want you to pray for my sister. I want you to pray for my mother. You see, not everybody who has a disability is disabled. Just let that sink in. See, I want us to be defined by our God-given ability, not our disabilities. There are some people that will be in a wheelchair and they'll always be in a wheelchair. But does that make them disabled to do anything? No. Just makes them different from you and me. What do you want me to do for you? You know, we need to come to the Lord with our specifics. Lord, I want you to give me my sight. They answered. Jesus had compassion on them. See that word? He sees what you feel. He had compassion on them. And he touched their eyes. And immediately they received their sight and followed him. He just said the word. And now he's laying hands. There's two ways that people can be healed. It's not just one way, isn't it? We don't have to just turn up. Julian and I, some years ago, we went to America. And there was a so-called revival going on. And we were hungry. And we thought, right, we'll spend our hard-earned cash and we'll go and we'll receive. And do you know what we came back with? We came back with the understanding that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And we can pray just here in our church. We can believe for the miraculous in our church. We can experience the love and the grace of God in our church. Does it mean that you shouldn't travel? No. If God says, then you go. He touched them. And there are times where we need the Lord to touch us afresh. And there's times we need him to speak a word into our life. You know, when it comes to healing, it can be an emotive subject. But if we just lay hold of who he is and that he can do all things if he chooses to. But we also have personal responsibility. There's some of you in this room that will remember a man called Chris. And he had a problem with alcohol. And at the end, the alcohol killed him. And I remember having conversations with him, feeling guilty about rebuking him and saying, if you do this, you will not see your children married. You will die prematurely. But I can't help this. You can. Let us pray. Let us believe. Remember the question, what do you want? We have to answer it. Lord, I want my sight. Lord, I want to be free of alcohol. You see, do we believe God can do it? That man who I did love dearly in the Lord passed away prematurely, never to see his children grow up. You see, if we pollute our bodies, then we will reap the harvest of what we've done. So we have personal responsibility. And there's times that there's things in our lives that are out of our control. But we can still say, Lord, touch me. Lord, say the word. Submit yourselves then, in James 4, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If we just break that down a bit, why am I reading this portion of scripture? Hopefully I can explain it. Submit yourselves to God. How do we resist the devil? By submitting ourselves to God. Lord, not my way, but your way. Not my will, but your will. Then it goes on to say, come near to God and he will come near to you. And there, that's a scripture that we can lay hold of. But we don't want to lay hold of the next bit. It goes, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's not be double-minded. Let's be single-minded. Let's come before the Lord. Keep short accounts. Lord, cleanse me, clean me. David would pray it like this. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit with you. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. As we submit to God, everything, our imperfections, submit them to God. Our weaknesses, our strengths, submit them to God. Our illnesses, our ailments, submit them to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know that sickness is not something that God has given you. Sickness can be self-inflicted and it can be a result of the pollution we have around us. We're in a fallen world. But that's not the end of the story, is it? We have a Saviour that brings salvation, nothing broken, nothing missing. Matthew 14:34. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when a man of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him, let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. He didn't lay hands on anyone. He didn't say a word. They just came and touched his deity. You know, there's times where we just come in our moments of prayer and praise. Even today, even this morning, we just touch the hem of his garment. We just say, Lord, come. Fill me with faith. Enable me, not my will, but your will be done. You see, for me, I grew up in the thinking that God could only heal in one way, and that whenever I prayed, I had to be loud. I'm naturally loud. This is not me doing anything other than what I normally do. I'm naturally loud. But you know what? The lady that was outside, I didn't say to her, bow your head, repeat after me. I just looked at her and said, Lord, would you come and heal her? And then the words that came out of my mouth was, Lord, the pain that she's suffering, not just in her body, but the pain in her mind, come and touch her. You see, we can lose what God is doing if we think he can only heal us one way. If we have to wait for the healing service. If we have to wait for the oil. There was a lady, I can't remember what she had, but someone, when I explain who she is, will tell me. She was in the care home and she couldn't eat. She had to be fed through a tube. Her name was Joan. And whatever it is she had, she was told that she would choke to death. She would choke to death. And I remember, Julian won't mind me mentioning his name, too late, I've done it. He said, I really feel that we should go and pray for Joan. And we did. And us two grown men were in tears praying for this lady. And Julian said to her, Joan, what do you want us to pray for? And this is what she said, I just want to go home. And this, the Lord is our witness. This lady that was diagnosed with whatever it was she had, that was being fed through a tube, told that she would choke to death in an awful, awful way. Within weeks, ended up in hospital. Went to the hospital to see her, and as I walked in, she just beamed. And I made sure I dressed up and looked smart as her pastor. And I heard the ladies around her say, who's this? And she said, that's my pastor. And they said, I think I'll start going to church. That was what they said. And we just prayed and she passed away within days. God is able. Isn't he? What do you want? I want to go home. What would I have prayed for? Lord, heal her. Yeah? What do you want? I want to go home. So all that touched her, she reached out and she touched the Lord. And he answered her prayer. And he answered our prayers. So I just want to encourage us not to put God in this box, but to say, Lord, your way. In Luke 8:43, it says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and no one could heal her. She came up behind and touched the edge of his cloak. And when you look at this story, and we're all familiar with this, is a woman that shouldn't have been where she was. She shouldn't have done what she did, but something was stirred within her. There was, she understood that if only I reached out and touched him. And Jesus said something remarkable. Who touched me? He said. His disciple says, Lord, there's a throng of people around you. What do you mean? Who touched me? He said, no, someone touched me. Someone came to me and lay hold of my deity. He didn't use them words, but you get the picture. Somebody came and touched me. Someone came and demanded from me. Jesus didn't lay hands. He didn't say a word. And yet, this woman was healed immediately. So there's ways that God wants to bless his people. There's ways he wants to bless those that don't even know him. In John 5:2, now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic, called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie. Now just imagine, you've just got a throng of people who the one thing they have in common is their disability. The lame and the paralyzed would lay. One who was there who had been an invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him laying there, learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, asked him, "Do you want to get well?" This man, who was laying on the ground, never had any faith. Scripture doesn't tell us. He didn't visit the synagogue on a regular basis. He didn't know the Torah. He didn't understand. He just wanted to stick there with that superstition that there's going to be a stirring of the water and the first one in will receive their healing. What kind of God would do that? But he believed that if only he could get in the water, he would be healed. And there are many people around us that will believe that if only they take this tonic, if only they drink this potion, if only they see this soothsayer, if only they have their tarot cards read, if only they have their palms looked at, if only they have their head massaged, if only they look at this particular deity, then they will be healed. But Jesus came along and just said, "Do you want to get well?" The man had no faith. "Sir," he replied, "there's no one here to help me." Jesus said in verse 8, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." You see, God is in the business of healing those who he knows and those that he doesn't. So we can pray. We can pray for whoever God lays on our hearts. Do you want to get well? You know, one of the things that has struck me throughout the years, and I've got a lot of scripture to get through, so if I have to cut this short, I will. This is this. I've met people who will say, I'm dying of cancer. I'll do anything. Come to church. Oh, I got the time. I'm feeling too unwell. You know, can you imagine, let's say our pizza and praise evening, we say, let's pray for the sick. And I get a phone call from Fred, and Fred says, "I'd love to be with you at the healing service tonight, Pastor, but I'm not well." Now, come on. Can you see the irony there? "I'd love to be with you at the healing service tonight, Pastor, but I'm not well." And sometimes we can be robbed by the enemy who says, "I just want you to stay at home." And the Holy Spirit is saying, "I just want you to get up and go." Some people receive their healing on the way. In Mark 8:22, it says, "They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He looked at the blind, took the blind man by the hand." Now, can you imagine this next bit? "And when he spit on the ground," you see, God heals in some strange ways. I was listening to a story on revival, and I can't remember the names and which revival it was, but there was a prayer meeting called. And there was a timid lady there who didn't like to pray out loud. She just turned up at all the prayer meetings. There's only about four of them. And the pastor, thinking, "I'm sure God said that we were to pray and he would bring revival, yet nothing has happened. Is there anyone that feels anything?" And she says, "Yeah, I have this urge to knock on the table." "Come and knock on the table." "No, no, no, I can't. That's a strange way, isn't it, to bring revival? Could you imagine? You know, we have a meeting, we're saying we're seeking God's face, and God is going to move in the miraculous amongst us. He's going to bring about a revival where we're going to see tens of hundreds, if not thousands of people repenting and coming back, people being healed in the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the pit donkeys not being able to work because the men are not cursing anymore, things happening in a way that we don't understand. And I ask you, is the Lord saying anything to you? And you say, yes, I have this urge to knock on the table. It's a strange way, isn't it? He spit on the ground. Made of mud. Slathered on his eyes. See, God heals in miraculous ways. He also heals in strange ways. Let's not rule anything out. If the Lord speaks to you, remember that scripture that says, his sheep knows his voice. Lord, is this you? Well, unless it's going to kill somebody, do it. If it's going to edify, encourage, do it. This lady, eventually, the pastor said, look, let's everyone get up. And we're all going to walk around the table and we're all going to knock on it. She said, I can do that. And as she knocked on the table, the Spirit of God just fell. You see, sometimes the Lord heals through obedience. But we see here that he didn't just lay hands. He didn't just say the word. He didn't just say, touch my garment. He healed in an unconventional way. Let's not rule anything out when we look at the way God heals us and heal his people. So like I say, I just want to encourage us just to move forward. In Mark 6, it says this. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The era he was in, he was amazed at their lack of faith. Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Remember, the way he taught was repent for the kingdom of heaven. Salvation. He wanted to bring healing to the mind, to the body, to the soul. Jesus went around from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over impure spirits. In verse 12, they went and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed the sick people with oil, and they healed them. There are times where God will say, anoint that person for healing. And there's no special oil, it was just olive oil. It wasn't oil that had to come from Jerusalem. It wasn't oil that had to be prayed over by the priest or the man of the day. It was oil. It was a symbol. It was just something to encourage people. This same Joan that we're talking about, when we used to visit in her care home, there's two things she used to love. You see, her face would light up. Whenever I brought my Bible with me, which was a big, thick Bible, oh, you brought the word. And when I brought the oil, you're going to anoint me. There's times where God wants us to anoint people with oil. And we see the miraculous. There's times that he will say the word and it will happen. There's times that we'll just touch him, reach out, and we'll see the manifestation of his glory. There's times where he will ask us to do something which is extraordinarily out of the ordinary. And he brings about the healing. In Matthew 8, and I only have this scripture left. In Matthew 8, verse 5, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, centurion came to him asking for help. And that's what we tend to do, isn't it? We come to the Lord and we say, Lord, help us. Because we know we can't do it on our own. We need to understand this picture here. Understand this story that I'm going to share with you. And just put yourself in this man's position. The centurion, he had many people under him. He said, Lord, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Lord, it doesn't mean necessarily that he understood he was the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was a term of authority. My Lord. He understood there was something about Jesus that had authority. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? Or in our language, shall I go and heal him? The centurion replied, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority. The soldiers under me, I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." You see, our faith in what Jesus has done, our faith in what Jesus can do, at times is enough. As we're praying, "Lord," we're miles away from the person we're praying for. "Lord, I know that you can. Lord, I know that you can. Will you come? Will you touch? Will you manifest? Will you bring about healing?" And I want to share with you today that God, we're going to close here because I am out of time and I've probably gone over my time. But I want to encourage you and say that he says to us afresh, "For I am the Lord that heals you." Emma, you can come back, our worship team. "I am the Lord that heals you." He is the Lord that is more than able. And there are people in this room that can testify that God has healed them. That God has healed them from something. There are people in this room that are believing for God to heal them. There are people in this room that have already believed that their healing is fulfilled, even though the body doesn't catch up with what the mind and the heart says. "Lord, I am who you've called me to be." We have witnessed healing in our own lives. That person, that 6-stone individual, that is my wife. There came a point where there was a song being sung, and part of that song was, "You are my healer." And Susan sang it out. And she got home that night and she said to me, the man of faith, "I think I've been healed." And I said, "Be careful. Be careful." And she got up the next day, knowing that the Lord had touched her body. She met with a friend and she ran up and down the biggest hill she could find. You see, God is the God who heals us. Some of you in this room have had cancer and God has healed you. Some have had emotional disturbances and God has healed you. I used to have a foul temper and God has healed me. God is able. So we're going to worship together. Listening and hearing everything I've said, we don't have time to necessarily lay hands on the sick, but we do have time during our worship to say, "Lord, say the word. Lord, send your healing. Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus."